Sadly, as you heard our news bulletins this morning, another drowning in the Murray River at Moama over the weekend. And I was surprised to read recently that when somebody is drowning, they don't flail their arms around and call for help and do all the things that we see in the movies often. In reality, drowning looks nothing like that. And unless you know what to look for, you could miss those signs altogether. So let's try to learn a little more on what those signs are so that if somebody near us is getting into distress in the water, we hopefully can be as aware of it as possible. I spoke with Natalie Hood, who is the National Medical Advisor for Surf Life Saving Australia and also a doctor, and has had a lot of experience in this area and trained a lot of people as well. I asked Natalie a bit about that and about the way that it looks when people get into distress in the water in the movies and they're splashing around everywhere and it's quite obvious, and whether there's any similarity at all between what we see there in Hollywood pictures and what happens in real life when somebody's getting into trouble in the water.
It's probably highly unlikely that that's going to happen in real life. People that can splash and thrash about probably can still swim. If you're able to kick yourself high enough in the water to be able to be splashing about, you're probably not in immediate trouble. You might need to be rescued, but you're probably not at imminent risk of drowning. In real life, especially with little children who perhaps don't even realise that they're in danger, they'd literally just slip under the water silently.
As quickly as that?
It can be as quickly as that. I've seen it happen a number of times in real life. I've been poolside at hotel resorts and just seen little children suddenly be out of their depth and just go straight under the water. I've been at the beach and witnessed children just topple over in the shallows, and little toddlers are unable to right themselves in the shallows. They're unable to sort of get their footing and they literally are just under the water. This year alone at the Monash Medical Centre, at Monash Children's Hospital where I work in Melbourne, I've looked after three children of drowning incidents. Luckily, all survived. But each of them gave a story, either by the child or the parents, that they simply just disappeared from under the water. One was in a swimming pool at a friend's house. They were all having a barbecue. This child was about eight or so, could supposedly swim, but just in the whole crowded scene in the swimming pool, must have got a mouthful of water, must have got a kick in the head. He suddenly just disappeared and someone trod on him in the bottom of the pool. Another child just slipped out of a life ring that the father had put them in, thought that they'd be fine floating around in the life ring, just slipped out the bottom. Dad turned around. They weren't there anymore. Another child at a public pool was being supervised by an elderly grandma who was on the outside of the pool, and suddenly that child just sort of disappeared under the water. So they do. They just slip under, unable to swim, unable to call out, and just disappear until somebody either notices that they're missing or sees them under the water and is able to effect a rescue. People that can wave for help, in my experience, are in a situation, for example, at a surf beach where they can swim, but they might be trapped in a rip. They might be being washed out by a current in a river. So they can swim, but they're unable to swim strongly enough to swim against the current. But they can support themselves and they can wave and perhaps yell for help. And those people need rescue, but they're perhaps not at imminent risk of drowning. So a lifeguard or someone who has swimming ability or some sort of flotation can throw them flotation, can go out on a rescue board and get them. What people need in that sort of situation to interrupt the drowning process is simply for someone to throw them something so that they can float. People are unlikely to drown if they have a flotation object. So if you're able to throw them a life ring, a boogie board, paddle over on a surfboard and support them, they're unlikely to drown. The people most at risk are probably young children who just don't even appreciate that they are drowning and they simply can't swim and slip under the water when they're unsupervised.
This explains how kids can drown in a backyard pool so quickly and so silently. What about when you're swimming in a river which has its own currents, and rivers like the Murray have deceptively strong currents underneath the surface? Does it happen the same way where you've got a moving body of water or currents involved?
You know, I think when people get themselves in an unfamiliar environment, they certainly can panic a bit, and I'm sure that that adds to it. If you're somewhere where you can touch the bottom, you swim around, but then you've got to put your feet down again and you can touch the bottom, and you probably feel like you're in a secure, safe environment. When someone gets swept beyond their depth, they suddenly find themselves in moving water in an unfamiliar situation, they will panic to a certain extent. We all would. Even if we can swim, we'll start to hyperventilate, our heart rate will jump up, we'll suddenly do a whole lot of short, sharp breaths with our hyperventilation, and then we lose our whole rhythm of our swimming because we are have this just heightened element of panic, of adrenaline surging through our body. And I think when you lose that breathing rhythm that goes with normal swimming, all of a sudden you just have swim failure. People suddenly can't do their normal swimming because they can't breathe. And you hear stories of people unable to swim out from unturned boats, for example, because they're sort of hyperventilating and in this state of panic. And people that can normally swim all of a sudden just suffer from a sudden onset of swim failure. And if you have, certainly if you have elderly people that perhaps have high blood pressure or already have angina or some sort of underlying medical condition, all those sort of things can contribute to adults drowning. Of course, you've got drugs and alcohol being major factors in people being unable to judge situations, unable to swim to their normal capacity that they would when they were unaffected by drugs and alcohol. So all these things can have an effect as to why someone who you think can swim suddenly has drowned.
Natalie Hood's with us on ABC Goulburn Murray, National Medical Advisor for Surf Life Saving Australia, as we try to learn what somebody in distress in the water really looks like. They're not flailing their arms all around the place. Natalie, can you give us any tips on how we can learn better to spot that somebody is in distress, or anything that we can do to try to save somebody who's in trouble in the water before something irreversible happens?
Well, firstly, it all comes with experience. There is certainly good evidence that people learn how to pick up the signs of drowning by experience. So senior lifeguards will be much, much better at being able to scan and survey the environment looking for people that are drowning compared to novices or junior lifeguards. And what you learn with experience is being able to pick the people that have drifted outside the safe swim area. So if someone has drifted outside the flags or off a sandbar at a beach or in a river, they've drifted away, watch those people. If you see people breaststroking or trying to swim against a current, watch those people. They're likely to get into trouble. If you see them doing intermittent freestyle, then breaststroke and freestyle and breaststroke, they could be in trouble. People that lose their sort of horizontal swimming position and go into a vertical position, perhaps just bobbing up and down the water, people extending their head trying to get a last gasp, people maybe just flailing their arms around at water level, all those people could be in trouble and need to be sort of watched and need to be rescued by someone who's competent, because we don't need the rescuer drowning as well. They need to be rescued, or if not immediately, then certainly need to be watched and lifeguards or somebody who's able to perform a rescue alerted as to the situation. In terms of children, as I said, the signs can be just so quick that all you see is a child sort of missing, notice a child missing or notice them under the water. But certainly children just need to be watched very, 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 very carefully and never take your eyes off them. Adults, that you need to just be aware that people, as I said, the main thing is sort of people drifting outside an area where they would normally swim safely. In the surf situation, you often see people panic. People that had a boogie board or a surfboard, for example, throwing that device away, which is counterintuitive because they think they can now swim. And that's probably the worst thing they can do. So I always worry when somebody throws their boogie board away and thinks that they're going to swim to the beach, because they, if they can't paddle to the beach on a boogie board, then they're probably not going to be able to swim to the beach either. And people just doing a sort of climbing the ladder type of swim stroke, where they're sort of dog paddling in a vertical position with their feet sort of going up and down, they're sort of climbing the ladder type motion, they're probably going to be in trouble reasonably quickly.
Is there anywhere we can get more information, perhaps even look up where to do a course?
Look, there are life-saving organisations all around Australia. Here in Victoria, we have Life Saving Victoria that will be able to instruct people. If you don't want to be a lifesaver, you can do some sort of community bronze medallion. And up in New South Wales, there is the Surf Life Saving Association. The Royal Life Saving Association is involved in some of the inland waterways. In Victoria, Life Saving Victoria has inland life-saving clubs up on the Murray. So those life-saving organisations are a good spot to start. Going to your swimming pool and learning how to swim, not necessarily swimming Olympic events, but just learning doing some sort of course in just water survival, in survival swimming, learning how to get yourself out of the situation, what to do if you fall in fully clothed, how you're able to adopt a float position, how to trap air in your clothes so that it acts as some sort of buoyancy, and then using that sort of short-term buoyancy that you'll get out of air trapped in your clothes to wave for help and get yourself to safety.